This morning, as always, we have an interesting guest, and I'd like to say a big hello to, I hope I get your pronunciation right, Shane, to Shane Lestido. How am I doing with that pronunciation?
Not bad at all.
wonderful to have your company, Shane, and I know our listeners will be intrigued to know why we've got you on the program. So let's find out a little bit about you. Shane, with a name like Lestido, forgive my pronunciation, that sounds French, so there must be a little bit of French history there somewhere. Tell us about that.
So I have spent a lot of my adult life living in France, having married a Breton. So Brittany is the northwestern corner of France. It's a Celtic region, very similar to Ireland and Scotland in nature and in culture. And so I'm French by adoption, you could say.
There you go. I speak a little French, un peu, a little bit, but love France, and Paris, of course, is my favourite city. So, hey, Shane, but you've come back to Australia, so tell us about that. How did that happen? And, of course, we're going to hear more about some of the things you've just mentioned already, but you've come to Australia. How long have you been back here?
So I was away for 10 years and decided to come back 5 years ago. So came back with a husband and two kids and relocated to Melbourne and then Geelong. And in the last 5 years, I've built up a career as a baroque violinist in Australia and have formed a group called Evergreen Ensemble, which is, I guess, my greatest creative outlet. And I guess it's part of the reason why I've been brought on to your show, just to speak a little bit about a program that I'll be bringing up your way to the Cloudhill Gardens in Olinda.
And we're going to hit
this coming Saturday.
Tell us a bit more about how you got into music. I mean, has it always been a passion? How did that come about?
I would actually say that I grew up with a huge passion for fine arts and for drawing and painting, and music, which I started learning the violin when I was nine. It was something which it started as a little bit of a chore, and then as I sort of developed my skills in my instrument, I guess I fell in love with the instrument over time. And when it came to choosing which path I was going to take, either the fine arts or the musical path, I just spent a year living in Ireland and Scotland, which had really opened my eyes and my ears to another style of playing. I'd grown up playing classical music, and I learnt how to play by ear, session tunes and slow airs and a whole lot of music which, because you've never learnt it off a page, you sort of carry it around inside you, and it makes for a really different feeling as a musician. You feel as if that music becomes really a part of you. And so I went through the conservatorium in Sydney and have done my career as a violinist to date with a bit of a dual identity. I have my world as a classical and baroque violinist, and then I also have done a whole lot of performing as a folk fiddler.
Wow.
And it wasn't until I discovered about 5-10 years ago that there's actually a whole body of music which requires those two skills, both as a baroque violinist and a folk fiddler. And so I've spent a lot of time through Evergreen Ensemble exploring the music of 18th century Scotland, which is a really great example of this particular sort of folk/baroque repertoire.
This is
the first time we've dived into the Irish side of things with the program that we're going to bring to Cloudhill Gardens this Saturday.
Fantastic. Hey, Shane, just for those of us who are less musically enlightened, just explain baroque for us.
So, in a nutshell answer, the music of the baroque period is from approximately 1600 to 1750. So to start a few names that are more common knowledge, we've got J.S. Bach, we've got Vivaldi, Telemann, Handel, they're sort of the Baroque greats. And when these days, when you're playing Baroque music, you're more likely to study how it was played at the time, and you have access these days to either Baroque instruments or copies of Baroque instruments, and so you can play in what we call a historically informed manner. So you think about how it was done 300 years ago, and rather than say, well, I learnt modern violin in a conservatorium, I'm going to play J.S. Bach in a modern style, you try and recreate a performance in the style of maybe a 1700 concert scenario. For example, Bach composed principally on organ and harpsichord, and these days we hear a lot of Bach on the piano. So it can be interesting to go back to the instruments that he composed on and understand, I guess, why the music sounds that way once you're playing on an original instrument. So the violin I play is a copy of a Baroque violin. It has, for example, gut strings and a Baroque bow, which is shaped more like the bow of a bow and arrow.
Okay.
Not like a modern violin bow. And it makes for a different style of interpretation.
And and Shane, people will just have to come along and listen, won't they, if they want to see the difference? Hey,
When I play at Cloud Hill, I tend to bring two violins with me just in case, one up my sleeve kind of thing. Because it's a twilight concert, which is just, you know, the most magical time to be playing outside, it tends to be the time when the heat of the day dissipates a little and you get a little bit more moisture in the air with the dewy kind of feel to twilight. And when I mentioned playing on gut strings, they're really sensitive to changes in humidity and they drink in any of that moisture and tend to go out of tune a little bit more easily. So we're retuning, but if ever a string snaps, I've always got my second violin I can just whip out of the case and away goes the concert again.
Hey, Shane, Bob and I were just chuckling there when you were talking about having a violin up your sleeve, but we won't go there. Hey, just for our listeners, you're listening to Shane Lestadeau, who is the Artistic Director and Music Researcher for the Evergreen Ensemble. For those of you who have already had your appetites wet, it's not going to be wet on Saturday because it's going to be sunny and mild. And there's a wonderful concert, if we can call it that, by the Evergreen Ensemble being held at Cloud Hill Gardens, which for those of you who don't know, is just about a kilometre from Olinda up in the Mount up in the Dandenongs, at 6 o'clock. Am I right, Shane, on Saturday?
Yep, 6 p.m. to about 8:30. There's an interval in the middle.
Fantastic.
We're encouraged to bring picnics and a picnic blanket and some woolens, and just enjoy being in one of the most beautiful gardens in Australia.
There you go.
Music.
And we're going to hear as part of that about an old Irish custom of the rag tree. My very special guest is Shane Lestadeau, and we're talking about the Evergreen Ensemble, who is performing at the Cloud Hill Gardens this Saturday, just 2 days from now, 6 o'clock, in a wonderful setting up there in the Dandenongs. And I was just asking Shane before the break to tell us about the old Irish custom of the rag tree, because that's part of what's happening as guests arrive on Saturday. They're going to see a rag tree. What's that all about, Shane?
So the tradition of the rag tree is closely associated with the travellers in Ireland. So there's a nomadic group of people who have been associated with Ireland for a very long time, who have their own distinct culture, like Irish gypsies, but they prefer to be called travellers. And one of their traditions, which has become an Irish tradition common to everyone that lives in the country, is that of the rag tree. So if you have a family member or a friend who is ill or who has a problem in their lives that needs resolving, you take a little fragment of rag. It might be something, a little hem off a dress, or even just a thread or a ribbon, and you tie it to a rag tree. And often it's one tree which has sort of been used for this purpose over many, many generations, and you tie it to one of the branches. And the tradition is that as the rag disintegrates, the problems and the illness of that person will also disappear.
Shane, I really like that. I think we've got a big winner there for cutting down on our health costs here in the the health system in Australia.
That's right. We need more rag trees.
Well done. Well done.
So hey, I wasn't sure that Jeremy would go for the idea. Jeremy owns Client Hill Gardens because every plant in his garden is just an incredible feature, and I wasn't sure that he would like the idea that that he might have rags and ribbons tied to any of his beautiful trees. But I guess he must have
According to Emma Wicking, that we both know, who's organising the PR and everything for this event, Emma assures me that there will be at least one rag tree there. And a big shout out, of course, to you, Jeremy Francis, if you are listening this morning. We hope you are. And, well, there's lots of other people obviously involved in the production on Saturday, including the other members of your ensemble. Would you like to introduce the others, Shane, for us?
Absolutely. So we're coming as a quartet for this program. Not a traditional string quartet, however. We have Sarah Wade, who'll be playing concertina, Irish whistles, recorder, and Scottish small pipes. So quite an amazing multi-instrumentalist. We have Lucy Price, who'll be on baroque cello, Claire Patty on Celtic harp, and she's a fantastic singer, and myself on baroque violin. So
what a mixture,
harp, voice, and plenty of wind instruments.
So what defines, excuse my musical ignorance again, Shane, but what defines an ensemble? Is it a certain number of people, or is it musicians working together, or what defines it?
I think what you just said is a great description. So musicians working together. I guess when it comes to a group that plays crossover repertoire, so not only the music of one particular period, we're playing a lot of folk music and art music, I guess, classical, baroque,
yes,
modern. We tend to sit more on the baroque side of the fence, and so ensemble is a good way of describing a bringing together of musicians. As a folk band would be called a band or a group. So that's why we're called an ensemble.
Okay, so let's go to the other part of your name, which is Evergreen. I'm intrigued by that as well. Where does that come from, and what's the significance of the Evergreen Ensemble?
It's quite fitting, isn't it, that we'd be playing in a gardens with a name like that.
It is, yes.
But it came about because of the symbolism that you find in folk and baroque music. Both styles are very strongly connected to the natural world. You have pieces like the Four Seasons are a good example. Music is often a kind of a homage to the natural world, and you have birds, plants, seasons. All of those ideas are kind of really interwoven into how the music has been played and conceived of over time. And I like the idea that the word evergreen it means keep it fresh, and so that's what we're trying to do as well. We're trying to breathe some fresh life into some very old music.
Fantastic. And of course, for those of you who missed the last segment, that's this Saturday, 6 o'clock at Cloud Hill Gardens, which is up on the top of the Dandenongs, not too far from Alinda. You will need to book, and if you need to get tickets, if you could just let me make sure I give out the right website here. It's for tickets, it's www.cloudhillgardens.com. Cloudhill. Now, Cloudhill has an E in the middle, so it's cloudehill.com.au, and there are still tickets available for this Saturday. It's a single, one-off performance. Is that right? Is that right, Shane?
For this part of the year, there'll be another performance, but all the way up in Albury, just before the end of the year.
Fantastic. You're with Bruce Argyle, our regular Thursday morning Community Conversations program, and while that last song wasn't an Irish song, obviously, at all, was it, Shane? My special guest this morning, Shane Listerdoe, who is the Artistic Director and Music Researcher for Evergreen Ensemble, was just telling me off air that it's really, Irish music is just such a wonderful medium. Do you want to just ignite our passion a little bit, Shane? Why is Irish music so special?
Why it's special to me is because I've got Irish roots, and I think that for anyone in Australia that either has visited Ireland or has Irish blood, listening to Irish music is a really transportative experience. It takes you, if that's a word.
Yes.
It transports one to another country. It really feels like you're listening to stories and to a kind of a musical description of a landscape. That's how I've always experienced Irish tunes. And so for the program that we're going to be playing on Saturday, we've taken a whole heap of tunes that we know belonged to either the 18th or the 19th century, and we've arranged them for our instruments, strings and harp and concertina, etc.
Is that why it's called Tree of Strings? Can I interrupt
Tree
and ask
of strings,
you?
Well, the harp is actually very often associated with images of trees. Trees are really at the heart of Irish symbolism, and because we had so many strings amongst all of the instruments that we're going to be playing, and because we're in Cloud Hill Gardens, I just decided to call it Tree of Strings.
Great.
The music itself, there's a during the 18th century in Ireland, you had side by side a love of Italian Baroque composers like Corelli and Vivaldi and Germignani, and you also had players like the old Irish harpist Turlough O'Carolan, and so there was a period of time where all of the tunes and the Baroque sonatas and concertos, they were all mixed together in a big kind of a big body of repertoire that, you know, there was less distinction between the Baroque repertoire and the Irish.
Right.
So that's what we'll be playing, is a mix of all of those, a mix of both of those styles. So it's both traditional Irish and Baroque music.
Baroque, yes.
Baroque, and sort of face to face.
And of course, you've got the amazing Claire Patty, who you mentioned in passing as a harpist and a singer. Is she going to be singing as well?
She is. There are lots of songs. There are a few exquisite slow airs, and there are also a number of songs which are the really lively songs. It's in Scots Gaelic, we call it Posh the Burn, which is mouse music, where you're actually singing the tune with your mouth as you would play it on an instrument. So it's really, you have to be very articulate, let's just say. And both Claire and I will be singing a couple of those songs.
Wow, there you go.
Accompanied with sort of body percussion, in a way that Irish women, when they would have been working either at home or in a group, would have sung to accompany their task. So, yeah, there's quite a number of different styles of Irish music that will be represented in the program.
Fantastic. And will I have, if I come along, will I have a chance to sing along with some of it, will I, Shane?
I think there may be one or two opportunities to participate in the body percussion part, for example. There are, if you are that way inclined and you feel you can keep a beat, you're welcome to join.
You've just crossed me off the list. But that's absolutely fantastic. And of course, we're talking, for those of you who may have just joined us, we're talking about the amazing opportunity this coming Saturday at Cloud Hill Gardens up in the Dandenongs with Jeremy Francis and his wonderful team there to hear, to enjoy, to partake in the Evergreen Ensemble, to bring your picnic along at 6 o'clock and have a wonderful twilight experience. I hope, it's not going to be raining because the weather forecast says 100% sunny on Saturday.
Fantastic.
And so that's good, isn't it, Shane? And my special guest here is Shane Lesterdow. And Shane is the artistic director and music researcher for the Evergreen Ensemble that are performing at the Cloud Hill Gardens this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock. It's not too late to get tickets. You can go on to www.cloudhill. That's got an E in the middle, cloudehill.com.au. There's still tickets available and a wonderful opportunity. You can pack your own picnic, grab your own family or someone else's family or something, and come along and enjoy a wonderful evening in the Cloud Hill Gardens. An experience of Irish music, Baroque and traditional, an amazing ensemble, lots of wonderful experience, and you'll get to see, maybe for the first time, an Irish rag tree as well. Shane, I'm just wondering about the Irish tradition of music. I know we've, sadly, joked about Irish jokes over the years, and, they've always been the butt of some of us who try to do comedy or something or other. But what about the Irish tradition of music? What is that? What are the distinctives? What does that look like?
So music is really central to Irish culture. Usually the Irish tunes come from old songs, and the songs, either they're ditties that were made up about things that have happened in sort of everyday life experience, or
right,
that have been part of that tradition of epic poetry, which is present in all of the Celtic cultures. And so when you play tunes, you're both connected to the Irish language, and you have a connection to the dance tradition. Often you're playing dance music. You've got storytelling, dancing, music making, and general sort of binding of the community all wrapped up into an 8-bar tune sometimes. So it's a real condensed kind of experience of Irish culture.
And is that close to Celtic music? I mean, is there a difference? Is Celtic, does that equal Irish, or we're talking a little different
more
here?
More the other way around. So Irish equals Celtic. So Celtic's kind of a blanket term for music which comes from the Celtic countries, which are principally Ireland, Scotland, Brittany, Isle of Wight. I'm going to miss out a few here.
That's all right. I think that's great.
The western tips of Europe, they all have Celtic connections. These days, to be part of the community of musicians that play Irish music, you can be an Irish musician in at home playing in your own living room, but it's more of a shared thing. So you would go to Irish sessions in,
right,
in bars or at home sessions, and it's really that exchange of music coming together and playing the same music. And you'll find that for some people, it's a really important part of their lives. People will literally traverse the planet to go and play tunes with their favourite musician, or to share in a strong musical experience, like going to an Irish music camp or a festival.
Wow.
So they're very small, but they're very powerful little, little things, the Irish tunes are.
We're talking with Shane Lesterdow, and we're talking the Evergreen Ensemble. In fact, for those of you who are not able to make it on Saturday, shame on you, to Cloud Hill Gardens, you could actually listen to some of the CDs, because I've been doing a bit of research, and you've got some CDs out there as well, Shane. You better tell us about that, where we can get them or whatever.
It's been a momentous 18 months. The last 18 months we've brought out 3 CDs, 3 albums.
Wow, you've been busy.
Absolutely. Through a sort of just a coincidence that they all happened in such close proximity. The first is a Scottish and Scandinavian album of folk and baroque music that we brought out through the Move Records label. And the second two were produced by ABC Classics, which was a lovely surprise.
Wow.
And that repertoire is of Scottish-Australian music. So through the research that I've been doing for the ensemble, I realised that, well, I started getting curious, you know, it's Irish and Scottish music that we were playing from the 18th century, how much of it was actually brought out to Australia by the early immigrants. I mean,
wow.
they always brought their most prized possessions, and often that included
music.
A collection of music. And so, lo and behold, I did a fellowship at the National Library, and there was oodles of these beautiful collections, leather-bound manuscripts, and the same up at Sydney Living Museums in Sydney. And so the last two albums are part of this sort of both folk, baroque and classical music that actually has roots in our own Australian music culture over the last 200 years.
Shane, we're going to have to.
All three will be available on Saturday.
We're going to have to wind up there. We'll have to have you back on the program another time, I think, because we're out of time. But for those of you who have missed some of this program, it's all happening at Cloud Hill Gardens, 6 p.m. In the Dandenongs this Saturday, the 22nd. You can hear Shane and the rest of the amazing musicians and singers, the Evergreen Ensemble. Or if you can't get there, shame on you. You can get their CDs. And thanks so much, Shane, for being our special guest this morning. It's been wonderful to have you on.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And for our listeners, for our regular listeners, thank you for joining us. For our new listeners, thank you also. We'll be back same time next week.